As we consider the gospel text this morning, that one line in particular from verse 2, works count for not the Lord incarnate hath won for me the heavenly prize. Our gospel lesson for this morning is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. I invite you to follow along as I read in Jesus' name. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into my vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out about the sixth and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Out of curiosity, how many of you hate this parable? Raise your hands. Be honest. I know there's more of you out there. Yes, we don't like this parable, and we don't like it not because it's hard to understand. This parable's simple to understand. We don't like this parable simply because we don't like what it teaches. We don't like this parable because we do understand it. In this parable, Jesus is teaching about the reign of heaven, and it's important for us to get that straight in our minds. He is teaching us about God's economy in the reign of heaven, about his thoughts which are higher than our thoughts and his ways which are higher than our ways. Jesus is not teaching you how to run your business. If you run your business like this, you will get sued out of existence. But Jesus isn't teaching us about our cultural economics. He's teaching us about heaven's economics. And in God's economy, in the reign of heaven, everybody gets the same. In God's economy, even idle bums like you and me get the same as everyone else. Let's pull this parable apart a little bit. Jesus describes that the reign of heaven is like a master, but the word that he uses is literally the word despot, a guy who has absolute, total, unquestioned authority over his vineyard. This despot goes out to the marketplace, as was common to do in Jesus' day, to hire some workers to get in his vineyard and get some work done. And so he goes out just before dawn, meets some people, and says, "I need some workers." And they say, "Well, how much will you pay?" And so they go back and forth a little bit. Literally, they symphonize, they agree upon a denarius for the day. Workers go and start working, and A little bit later, 3 hours later, the master realizes, you know what, not everything's going to get done. So he goes back to the marketplace. But notice as he hires these people at the third hour, he doesn't haggle a price with them. He simply gives them a promise. He says, whatever is just, it's a stronger word than just right, whatever is just, I will give you. And they go. He does this again at the sixth hour and again at the ninth hour, just giving them a promise, whatever is just, I will pay you. Finally, the 11th hour comes, an hour before sunset. And he still doesn't have enough workers to get everything done that he needs to. And so he goes back to the marketplace, and he doesn't do anything with these last people. He calls them bums, and he says to them, you go into my vineyard too. Doesn't even promise them anything. So recognize that except for the people who were first hired, nobody knows exactly what they're going to get paid. But they know who this despot is, and he's a pretty good chap, so we'll go and work. Now imagine the scene back in the field, because you know how this goes. When laborers start getting together, the people who are there at the beginning of the day, they're working hard, they're getting into it, they're getting good systems down, being more efficient, and here comes this new wave of people. And they kind of look at them a little sideways when they do things weird, and they tell them, here's a better way to do it, and they start making friendships, and they laugh together, and finally the people who were hired at the third hour start asking, you know, we never got told what we're going to get paid, so you've been here all day, what did you agree upon? And they say, well, we worked with the master and we're going to get a denarius, and just for the sake of me doing math, we're going to say it's $120. And so these newbies start doing the figuring, okay, a denarius for 12 hours of work for the first people here, we're going to have 9 hours of work, so we'll get $90. Not too shabby. And the ones hired at the sixth hour and the ninth hour, they do the same, all figuring they're going to get about $10 an hour. And then finally, as the day is closing again, that last group comes. The ones who the master went out to find at the 11th hour. And now, just think this through, because if the master goes out to the marketplace at the 11th hour, and has this conversation with the workers, and sends them back into the field, and by the time they get told what to do, and they get their tools, and they go to the bathroom before they start working, they might not even lift a finger. At most, they're going to get half hour, 15 minutes of work in. The day closes, and it's time to pay. And this despot looks over his vineyard, and he looks, and things are looking pretty good. The crop is producing well, the grapes are nice and big, the soil looks great, this is going to be a bumper crop. And he gets so excited about this, he gets a little frisky, and he says, I've got a fun idea. And so he calls his foreman, and he says, go and divvy out the checks, but pay them in reverse order, pay the last first. And so those idle bums who were there, literally, they probably just showed up for the paycheck. That's all the time that they really had. They get in line and they open up their envelopes and they see on their check in the little box $120. And you know what they don't do? They don't go to the despot and say, you know what, I think you made a mistake on my paycheck. They just smile and laugh and they think to themselves, I'm going to be working for this guy again. Anyway, the ones that were hired at the ninth hour get their paychecks, and the sixth hour they get their paychecks, and they both say $120. And, you know, they heard the 11th hour people talking, and, you know, they're still pretty happy because they're getting way more than what they originally thought, but they're probably a little bit jealous. And those at the third hour are probably even a little more jealous. And those who had worked from the beginning of the day, from dawn until dusk, they open up their paychecks and they see their $120 and they gag. They're choking on it. And all they can think about is all that hard work, all that toil, all that scorching sun and heat beating down on them all day. And so they march up to the despot and they say, "What do you think you're doing? These punks showed up at the last minute. They barely did any work. And you are making them equal to us?" And look at how the master, the despot, responds. He says, "Okay, I was ready for this argument to come. Remember back at dawn, you and I made an agreement. We had a deal. You agreed one day of work, one denarius, $120. I've gone good on our deal. What are you mad about?" See, these first laborers thought they were being cheated. But who is really the one who is being cheated? If anyone, it's the despot. He's the one who's paying $120 for basically zero work. And the despot continues, and what the despot says, it literally would smack us right between the eyes, smack us between the eyes of our prideful souls. He says to these complainers, "Take what is yours and go. If you don't like the way that I run things in my vineyard, take what is yours and go." And the last question that he asks, in our translation it says, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" But literally, the translation from the Greek would read, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" This parable so blatantly shows us what jealousy, what covetousness looks like. And it's pretty ugly and disgusting. If you let me expand on the despot's lines here a little bit more, the despot says to these complainers, basically, "If you don't like the way that I do things in my vineyard, if you don't like the fact that I give, not pay, I'm not claiming to pay these other people, if you don't like the fact that I give to everyone the same, then you can get out of here. You can go and work in another vineyard, but let me tell you, Buster, you're not going to find a more gracious vineyard owner than me. If you don't like that I'm gracious and merciful, it's best if you get out of here because mercy is my middle name." And then I like to think that he changes his tone just a little bit and invites these complainers, "Why don't you stick around for a little while and learn to love living in my mercy?" You see, again, Jesus is teaching us about the economy of heaven. And in the economy of heaven, mercy gets the final say. In the economy of heaven, it doesn't matter if you've worked 12 hours or 9 hours or 6 hours or 3 hours or really not even at all. In the economy of heaven, everybody gets the same. Jesus wants us to be shocked at this because it goes so contrary to everything that we know, because, you know what, our ways are lower than God's ways. Our ways are those sinful, evil, wicked ways. You see, Jesus is teaching here that in the reign of heaven, it's not about rewarding those who are rewardable. It's about grace. It's about giving to those who don't deserve. It's about the gospel. It's about the good news. You see, really the only one in the world who would have any right to complain against God would be Jesus. Jesus is the only one who worked a 12-hour day, working his knuckles to the bone. He is the one who went out working in the mucky, miry fields of sin and death. He's the one who pulled up the weeds of sickness and disease. He's the one who watered the whole vineyard so that it would continue to produce. He watered it with forgiveness and with life. And what did Jesus get in return? Jesus, the only one who ever lived fulfilling God's law, fulfilling God's plan, living perfectly under the light of the Ten Commandments, what did Jesus get? He got a beating. He got a back ripped apart by a whip. He got a crown of thorns. He got nails in his hands and feet. He got a spear-torn gash in his side. He got a cross and a tomb. And God saw all of this. And again, in the economy of heaven, God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus now has ascended where he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. If anyone has a right to complain about not being paid fairly, it's Jesus. If we start to grumble and complain about how God treats us, we need to wake up. Because you know what? We have already received so much more mercy than we could ever imagine. God has poured out the fullness of His love and mercy to us because of what Christ has done. God, in your baptism, He caught you up where you were and He brought you to the cross, where you were crucified with Christ so that you could be raised with Christ. And as Colossians 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In other words, your payday has come and you find that your paycheck is the same paycheck that Jesus got. You have been given just as Christ has been given. And you know what your Savior does? He laughs at the joke. He doesn't complain that you got paid what He got paid. He laughs. He loves that His Heavenly Father has not paid you what you deserve. He loves that your Heavenly Father has given you the goodness and graciousness of His mercy. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and into eternity. Amen.